voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600.
Good morning, Dr. Brown. Thank you for being here this morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Melissa?
I'm fine. I'm laughing only because if anybody really knew how I was during the commercial breaks, I'm like, oh, it's really early or it's really late and Dr. Brown's not here yet. And he's like, I'm coming. I'm dialing. It's okay. I'm coming. I get all nervous. I'm a weirdo. Sorry. Good to talk to you, though.
No worries. Yes. No worries. No, happy to be here.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, you know what's interesting, Dr. Brown? I got to be honest with you. I don't have a lot of COVID questions for you.
I thought that might happen.
Yeah. This is the weirdest feeling I think I have felt in about 2 years with you. I have literally every week been flooded with questions from people. I have had lists of questions from myself, and I don't really have a lot for you today. I really don't.
That's fine.
I mean, do you have anything to share on COVID? Like any? I mean, obviously the big thing is that next week the mask mandate is being dropped across
Correct.
Connecticut for schools, and most schools have decided to basically drop it.
Right. Yep.
And if they're not, they're doing it in March. So I know you and I talked about that in length last week, but anything on your end, anything you're seeing in the hospital or anything like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, listen, I always have something to talk about, Melissa. It's fine.
This is why we get along so well, because I, too, always have something to talk about, but I'm stunned today, so I'll be happy to give you the floor.
So COVID-19, we're seeing, obviously, everybody's seeing a significant decrease. We're seeing about 5% in the hospital. So we still are seeing hospitalizations. These are, I would say still a majority of them are not necessarily fully COVID-19 infections, but a combination. They have some other illness, and then when we test them, because we're still testing everybody, they're coming back positive. But our ICUs are now empty. Nobody's dying. Nobody's on ventilators. It's actually a breather. Mm-hmm. But what I do want to say is, one is, the mask mandate is gonna end. We talked about this last week, is that does not mean that it's the end of COVID. I have seen a lot of articles now who are kind of repeating what we've talked about, is this is transitioning from a pandemic to an endemic. I actually just read another article last night about it. I thought that was great. So I can explain what that means.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, what is an endemic? What would you define that as?
Absolutely. So a pandemic, we pretty much understood, right? A pandemic is, it's across the world. When it stops going sort of spreading across the world, so if we see when we saw Omicron in Europe and in other areas, we're like, oh no, it's coming to us next. That actually stops when it goes to an endemic. Really what happens with an endemic is that there's pockets of infection, as opposed to a worldwide spread, in this case, a worldwide spread of a strain, because we already had the worldwide spread of COVID-19. So now it's going to be pockets of infection. So we still need to be really careful about those who are unvaccinated, those who are at high risk, who are immunocompromised. If there's an infection within them, it can actually, or a group of people like that, or even nursing homes, especially if they haven't been boosted, those areas can end up getting infection, and then several people can get infected. But we wouldn't expect to see it sort of go statewide, or even countrywide. We'll just see these sort of pockets. So that's the difference between a pandemic and an endemic. So again, it's not done. I would say that as we're waiting right now to see what happens after the mask mandate.
I was going to actually kind of comment on the endemic. How did we get to this point? And I would imagine part of that is the fact that so many people have gotten vaccinated. But would you argue also, Dr. Brown, that a lot of people also contracted COVID, so there's a lot of natural immunity right now?
Absolutely. So I think you have a combination of the vaccine. So that actually confers immunity. You have people who've been vaccinated and infected. So that means they've been vaccinated and boosted if they've gotten infected, or they've been boosted, or if they've actually been infected. So all of those would give you some sort of immunity. So people who get infected who have not been vaccinated are essentially immune for 90 days. It's, give or take, and there are variabilities, but essentially it's 90 days. So if you look at sort of where we were a couple weeks ago, there's so many people that got infected in our state, in the country, that what happens is now we're in sort of this great 90-day window. So the likelihood that someone's going to get infected in that 90-day period is really low, and that confers herd immunity. So that means that if someone's infected, but you just had it 90 days ago, then you're not going to get it. And that's pretty consistent with what we've been seeing throughout this. So 90 days gives us probably into late spring. In the summer, we usually don't see a whole heck of a lot of viruses. Mm-hmm. And we saw every other year, we saw the virus really go down in the summer. So it's going to be the fall. So fall's the big thing. We'll see what's going to happen.
Okay.
But I would not, if you haven't been vaccinated, this is not over. And I would definitely recommend getting vaccinated, getting boosted, just getting ready. You don't want to be part of that endemic aspect, but it's much better now.
I mean, forgive me if this sounds dumb, Dr. Brown, but just because we reach an endemic, can you then reverse and go back to a pandemic?
You sure can.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So you would see pockets of infection, and almost you can argue, you can even say, if you remember last summer, last summer it wasn't gone, it was just low, and people were getting infected, and certain groups of people were infected. So you'd hear like a party would get infected, right?
Mm-hmm.
So someone had a gathering, usually it was an indoor sort of gathering, and then the family got infected. I would consider mm-hmm. that an endemic, because you wouldn't all of a sudden see, technically, just if we focus on that, technically, that would be sort of an endemic, and then you wouldn't see a bunch of other people who got infected. It sort of ended there.
I see. Sure.
Because as soon as they went out, the UV light killed it, and that was about
right.
it. So that's sort of what we see. But yes, it can, if there's enough period of time and there's enough of a variation in the strains, then it is possible. And that's why we're going to keep a real close eye, because it may be done or almost done in the U.S., but it's not done in the other parts of the world.
Mm.
And other parts of the world can potentially do that.
Do you think we're going to ever have like a COVID season? Like, flu is not a pandemic,
right.
But we have flu season. Do you think we'll ever have a COVID season? Like, will we ever get to that point?
I think so.
Yeah?
I do, but it's going to be interesting because the flu is a lot different. The flu is truly seasonal, and there is ecology associated with it, of all interesting things. Interesting enough, all flu is carried by birds. And the migration, I sound like such a nerd as I'm saying this. My wife's going to laugh at me. But anyways, the migration, as soon as you start about migration of nerd, migration of birds, then you're, Anyways, so it's based on the migration pattern of birds.
Uh-huh.
As the migration pattern sort of go, as the birds come and go, they also, interesting enough, they carry the flu throughout the world.
Okay, so that's terrifying and nerdy at the same time, yes.
So that's
I'm not
why
making
we have
fun of you,
season.
I'm just addressing it, yes. Okay, a flu season.
It's a true flu season because
wow.
It actually has to do with birds around the world and mm-hmm. how they migrate and how they carry and spread this virus.
Interesting.
So coronavirus is not carried by birds. It really is a human virus.
Yeah, no question.
So the likelihood that you're going to get it as a true seasonal is low.
Probably not happening.
But the reason why you have increases of viruses is when people accumulate, doors close. So it is likely to think that we are going to see an increase in the fall because it starts getting cooler, because school starts again, because, these different, we've by this time, I'm sure we'll be traveling a lot. So now all of a sudden we're going to start spreading it.
It's more social trends that would trigger a COVID season, if you will, versus birds. Kind of, sort of, I think, is what you're kind of saying. We're chatting with Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health this morning. We always chat with him each and every week to talk about our latest COVID questions. And I was saying in the beginning of this that I don't have a lot of them because it just feels like COVID is not a top story right now, which is actually kind of refreshing. There's still stuff to talk about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, one of the things to talk about is sort of everything else that's been put on back burner while COVID has moved forward, and I think this is a good time to encourage people to, take care of themselves. Don't avoid, the ERs are back to normal. Your primary care docs are back to normal. Please do not delay care. We saw that uptick, and again, we saw a significant delay in care. We saw this before during the last few upticks. We'd see people who actually avoided care. And we really do not want that. I mean, you need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself, especially if you have chronic illness. The hospitals are safe. We have a lot of measures to detect COVID-19. So again, I wouldn't delay in your care. It's time to go back to managing your health, diet, exercise, mm-hmm. eating right,
yeah,
and getting your regular physicals and checkups.
You know, get our regular programming back on schedule a little bit.
Exactly.
Do you know, Dr. Brown, very good point. I'm glad that you took the time to say that. I did have a couple COVID-related topics, if you will. I have noticed, you know, and there's controversy since the very beginning when COVID got here. God bless it. But, you know, I feel bad for the daycare and the pre-K workers out there.
Yeah.
I feel really bad for them. And the reason I say that is because you have massive amounts of parents who all are sick of having their little kids, their toddlers in masks. And
right.
And I get that. I am a parent who I hate that my kid has only known a world with masks, basically.
Right.
But
right.
He's learned to wear it. He does a pretty good job with it. I got to wash them constantly, and that's a pain. But for the goodness of others and the fact that my kid cannot get vaccinated, I don't mind the mask, if I'm putting it bluntly. However, I have been inundated with parents who are either in my – like who have kids in my son's class, who go to my church, who I've seen out in public, and they can't even fathom that teachers wouldn't want to drop the mask mandate because they can make that decision separate from the school districts. And
right.
I wanted to ask you, when you're talking about an entire population of people who cannot get vaccinated, even though they're very young and they contract it and they move on from it very quickly, are there things that the teacher should be worried about, or do you think it's okay to drop the mask mandate for preschools and daycares?
You know, this is really a hot area. I'm not surprised that you get a lot of comments about this.
I think so many.
I think we mm-hmm. do too.
Yeah.
And listen, and it's become so politicized that it's really tough to sort of say. I mean, it's easy to say sort of what the science is and why this makes sense. And in my world of infectious diseases and epidemiology, this is actually a really short period of time. I mean, we're getting to the point where we're going to have to try to not have masks. Well, we're not going to live our lives wearing masks. That's just not going to happen. And that was never the plan.
Mm-hmm.
The plan was is to hold off until the majority of the people can get some sort of immunity against COVID-19. I think we're at that point now. So now that we're at this point where we have the majority of the people, and I'll say this because I can, I think we're at herd immunity. And I think that's a really good thing. So I think even those who cannot get vaccinated, and again, I'm not saying don't get vaccinated. I'm saying for
right.
those who cannot get vaccinated, I think they're reasonably protected by those who have been vaccinated.
So
and
you're
who are actually immune.
So not to put words in your mouth, but you're saying if you're a pre-K or a daycare teacher, you shouldn't really be as nervous with having 10, 15 kids in your classroom all unmasked.
I would say, yes, that's actually what I'm saying. I'll go out there on the limb and say yes. I would be less concerned, especially given this current volume of what we've been seeing.
Okay.
And if you're a daycare worker or a teacher or someone where they aren't there and you're not vaccinated, then I would be nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I'll qualify that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's huge news. Quite frankly,
yeah.
I think the fact that you're a very astound doctor and infectious disease expert on this show and in the state of Connecticut. And, you know, and we have from the beginning said the importance of getting vaccinated and wearing a mask. I mean, that's a huge change 2 years later
we knew it would come eventually.
Right.
And again, I think we just need to use common sense, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have to rely on each other like we did during this pandemic. We
right.
have to rely on each other that if your child has a, you know, is sick, you know, then
keep them
you know,
home.
It's
Good
your
Lord.
Responsibility to keep them home.
Yep.
You know, and testing is available, get them tested.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the really important thing, and I think that if we can, you know, be at that point and still say, okay, you're sick, you got to be tested. You know what? That's the point where we got to be. So we still have to be cautious. We can't just sort of, You know, we can't just sort of
pretend this never happened.
Yeah, you can't just turn off the light switch and say, all right, or turn on the light switch, and that's it. It's all over.
Right.
It's not.
That's just
and honestly, I could tell you that, and we've talked about this too, is that the reduction of infections, you know, the likelihood of spreading any types of infection has reduced considerably over the last 2 years because we have been taking sound infection control practices.
Right.
You know, the stuff we do in the hospital all the time is actually being done. So preventing the spread of bacteria, preventing the spread of viruses, even parasites. I mean, by doing this, we're actually being really careful. So I would tell you that if I was working in a daycare center, I mean, I would always be a little nervous anyways and a little more cautious about washing my hands and keeping a little bit of a distance, especially
if
someone
was
sick.
Those are Petri dishes. Yes. Yes. You were getting sick before. Yes.
They are. Okay. So I think that's where, you know, colds are coming back. I mean, they weren't as bad as they were, you know, before this, but they're coming back. The viruses are coming back. And it's very likely, again, we had a pretty light flu season. Because of the infection control practices, likely we're going to have we're going to get a bigger flu season. It's just a matter of time. That's just the way the birds work.
Yeah. There's my nerdy Dr. Brown that I love so much. Really quick, Dr. Brown, because we have run out of time, but I just got a last minute question. What are the current regulations for people who are immunocompromised? Do they still need a fourth vaccination?
So the answer is it really depends on what they are immunocompromised with. So we're actually doing two things. I'll be really quick. I know we're out of time. So the short answer is yes, but you need to consult with your doctor. You can do a test to determine if you have neutralizing antibodies. We have been finding that people who are immunocompromised may not have neutralizing antibodies or active neutralizing antibodies.
Oh, wow.
It's in sort of a research setting, but it's easy enough to do. So if you know, if your doctor suggests it, great. If you're concerned about it, you can always get a what we call a serology test or look at your antibodies and determine if you need to get the fourth. If they're low, then I would say, you know, my opinion, if it was my patient, I would say get it.
Okay. Well, Dr. Brown, always appreciate having you on the show. Thank you so much. And I will try not to panic next week.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Dr. Brown here on WICC.